shatter and go lick a you down. The people them a ball and no matter no, how we crawl. The army them a set up figure but no fury wall. Black and top, make me gear lick a slack. You keep your mouth quiet, you off it up and diet with the system. And a funny little thing, cause killing all the youth is a thing we can't prove yet.
As a campus and community radio station, CKUT's mandate is to provide an essential service to those in the Montreal community whose needs are not met by mainstream commercial radio. CKUT is radio by and for the community and is produced entirely by volunteers. Opinions expressed on the show you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large. If you have feedback about anything you hear on CKUT, please get in touch with us at procom@ckut.ca with the specific feedback and the date and time of the show it's about. That's procom@ckut.ca.
When you tell your girlfriend, get changed, you're dressed like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages. When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change your tone of voice. It's not up to her to change. It's up to you. Violence against women stops now. Talk about it. Do something about it. And call SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement.
As a campus and community radio station, CKUT's mandate is to provide an essential service to those in the Montreal community whose needs are not met by mainstream commercial radio. CKUT is radio by and for the community and is produced entirely by volunteers. Opinions expressed on the show you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large. If you have feedback about anything you hear on CKUT, please get in touch with us at procom@ckut.ca with the specific feedback and the date and time of the show it's about. That's procom@ckut.ca.
Grand Rising, my kings and my queens. This is DJ Bobby Payne. I'm here to say, wake up.
My career about to blast like bubbly. I'm not waiting for her to say she love me. I can tell she with me, man, trust me. I got a 10-year-old me still like fuzzy. 325 on the dashboard. Riding a Porsche, rocking Tom Ford. I bought out Bernie's new Christian Dior. I took the jet to the New York store. She
yeah, man. Good morning. This is DJ Bobby Payne. What we saying now?
My career about to blast like bubbly. I'm not waiting for her to say she love me. I can tell she with me, man, trust me. I got a 10-year-old me still like fuzzy. 325 on the dashboard. Riding a Porsche, rocking Tom Ford. I bought out Bernie's new Christian Dior. I took the jet to the New York store. She lit while I'm driving, I'm standing the floor. I took it off track, now I'm riding this boy. You stay in your feelings, you never my boy. I can't come to the hood, I pull a decoy. Another body dropping, they screaming my name. I'm going to L.A. on a private plane. Could never come back and my family straight. I'm touchable, no, but too rich or too pain. Skeleton, cardiac, black diamond spade. Pull up too deep like a parade. Oh, jealous, I'm fuck up my pay. Black star, Aurora's culling in rain. I put baguettes in my wrist, in my neck, in my ears, in my ears, in my chains. This drip out the trenches, I know you gon' need me. That coffee beep, coffee be blame. I cut up my wrist open, wet and Coachella keep calling, they won't see the face. I took her to China and changed up a
class. This is DJ Bobby Page.
I'm on top, big fool, no training, but yeah! Big box. I could get you a new car. I'm in them St. Laurent heels, he said I'm too tough. Wanna wife me up, I go silent and say, ha, ha, ha. Uber on the way, he said, can't he stay? Don't pull in my garage, Rolls Royce in driveway. I don't got no time, though, to be fun, no vinyl. I'm counting my baggies, you wanna be viral. Dun, 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 dun. Richard on my arm, rappers in my phone. In my DM won't leave me alone. Dun, 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 dun. Hair 30 inches long, boys on my feet. Send this dude like a star phone.
Hands on my knees, shaking from my thigh. Post me a pic, finna make me a profit. When a nigga hit, then a bitch get toxic.
Why don't you
in the club with it. Wow.
I've been lit since brunch. That order 42 for the table. Let's pop. Missionaire or a doggy style on my top. Hey, know me from the closet. Call me a snake, snake. Yes, I can relate. Bit a whole lot of venom. And since these all rats, when they come around me, all I see is a whole lot of dinner. I walk around the house butt naked and I stop at air mirror just to stare at my own posterior. I don't give a who talk behind my back. Knew better than to let me hear.
Killing it on the ones and twos. DJ Bobby Payne.
Yeah.
I'm too sexy for this girl. Too sexy for your girl. Too sexy for this world. Too sexy for this ice. Too sexy for that jack. Yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain. Too sexy for your game. Too sexy for this fame. Yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah.
Okay, alright, that's fine, okay, okay. I'm feeling too sexy to accept requests,
yeah!
And I'm way too sexy to go unprotected. And she popped a Tesla, now she gonna let you. Okay, alright, that's fine, okay. Think we got too sexy for that metro housing. Diamond popped out, almost swallowed 60,000. Section need more things in here, I like it crowded. Hey,
whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I like it crowded. Oh, you like the boy, well, tell me what you like about him. You a turnt, a little thotty, ain't no wife about it. I'm a friends and send her back to metro housing.
Yeah. Too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this life, too sexy for that jack. Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, so we gone, huh? We good,
stop,
chill, we on,
chill,
scale, huh?
Let's go,
let's go, Domingo,
huh?
Let's go,
Domingo.
Take, huh? Let's go,
huh?
Set,
huh?
Let's roll,
hey.
Straightening, straightening,
woo.
Straightening. Yeah,
straightening,
don't nothing get straightened but straightening.
Hey.
Don't nothing get straightened but straightening. Don't nothing get straightened but straightening.
Straight.
You don't straighten.
Unique, my whole on screen talent. I've been listening to feel like Griselda and Marvin Wanin just to make sure I'm valid. From the way, yeah, half of my partners are savage. The other half made it out the mud, but the taste of snow didn't alter their palate. Yeah. I'm a dog, I'm a beast.
This
and
is
your
DJ Bobby
Payne. Was just fast start a pistol. She got a scorpion too and a sting you just like a scorpion do. If a demon get gregarious, my little Harry don't do what accordions do. That means bold. I was told by the G's of old. Keep your lady close. Make sure she can't work a pole. But they wasn't referring to strip. I'm still about fame with the Clippers. I done been blessed with a woman that pray heaven but turn her back on the devil. She keep the devil off me like the cherubim. She make it sharing them up with the euchanism.
Y'all get ready to be entertained, enlightened. Empowered.
But that's how I be in the jungle.
Cause this is Empower Hour. I am mean. Let's go.
Yeah. I rock the stars to be hungry. I told my baby girl she gon' have more in her head than just product and bundles. I tell them hell no, I'm beat. If you book me for a show and I can't bring my wife and my babies, I'm leaving.
Blessings, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are now on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and available at Facebook MTL Empower Hour. For the next 2 hours, the squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. My name is Miss Trish, and this morning, as always, I'm joined by my partners in light, Queen Kaya, Gina the Great, and Pharaoh. But before we do anything else, like every other show, I'm going to pass the mic to our CEO. He's rubbing his hands. He's rubbing his hands in order to bless this show and our kings and queens who are tuned in on Facebook and those who are listening. Pharaoh, the floor is yours.
Blessed melanated rising, everybody. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful to God, our creator. I'm grateful to our ancestors for being present with us. I'm grateful for their spirits of love, light, unity, strength, education, upliftment. And I just ask that today's show, let it be educational, let it be entertaining, and most importantly, let it be empowering to our listeners. I just ask that everybody stay safe where they are right now and just be in a spirit of love, light, unity, and great health. Hotep, amen.
Ashe. So as we do every single week, we're going to go around, do our wonderful round table, and find out how everybody's doing. I'm just going to play some music in the background. We got Nicki Minaj bees in the trap this morning. So Gina, we're going to start with you. How you doing?
I'm doing marvelous. Thanks for asking.
What's new? What's blue? What's clue?
So, you guys know those, how old were you when, like, you know, when they ask you, like, how old were you when you found out XYZ, right?
Okay, how old were you when? I like these. Okay.
And, I mean, it's not a parlor trick right now, but I've been having certain conversations with several different people. Again, like, we talked last week about, you know, every time I try to think about it, what, retrograde and stuff?
Okay, Mercury, yeah. Retrograde?
Right. Right. And so I've been having a lot of conversations with some close people and whatnot. But how old were you when you found out your parents were just humans?
Older. Definitely in my 30s, for sure.
Right?
Definitely in my 30s.
And because, you know, they say don't meet your heroes and stuff. And it's again, this is, of course, no disrespect to my parents, because my parents did what they needed to do in life and I am great for it. But then it's when you look back at the things and realize that your parents are just humans,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents had me young, too. So that's, like, on top of that, when I look back at it, I was just like, at the age that you were when I was that age, with three kids? No.
I'm telling you, it's not the same. Yeah.
And you know, we think that they're invincible. We think that they are without fault. We think that they are perfect because, you know, you love them unconditionally. But when you get to realize that your parents are human, you also get to forgive the mistakes.
Mm, I like that.
Right. That's and the disappointment simmers a little bit more.
Mm.
And but you still have to build your boundaries in certain instances, and you build your boundaries and you have a better relationship for it. And so that's a lot of the conversations that I've kind of been having with individuals. And, you know, like every relationship that you have, relationship is not just with a physical partner. Relationships are the things that you have with your parents, your siblings, your friends, your family, your coworkers. Relationship is a relationship. And you just understand that all relationships, some relationships need boundaries. And when you learn that, you have better boundaries. And when you put those forth and they are respected, you have better relationships for them.
I like that.
So that was the conversations that have been going around my circle. And that's how my people are.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually, just to kind of to piggyback on that, it's crazy because just if it wasn't maybe max 2 weeks ago on the same topic of our parents just being human, because like how I've evolved in terms of being like Pharaoh, who I am, my consciousness did not come from my parents at all.
It didn't come from your parents at all. Okay, elaborate. Let's talk about that.
Well, because
cool.
Like my background, right? My mother's Christian, my father's Muslim.
Okay.
I'm not religious at all.
Okay.
And the way I am, like you would switch, like it's almost a wonder. Like how did Pharaoh become this enlightened individual? But that's when I came to understand and respect the fact that we're all gods on our journey, right? Like our parents are the vessels that we chose,
right?
So for those who are kind of feeling a subtle resentment because either their parent wasn't around or just down the third, guys,
gotta let it go.
You have to understand that you are a god. You
Absolutely.
Came here. You chose your parents before, so you actually knew your parents weren't going to be present. You needed a certain level of independence, experience. You know, like a certain level of lifestyle.
Before I go, you go on about your week because mm-hmm. you're on something really good. What do you think it will take people to actually get to that point of understanding? Because I know, like, you're there, Gina's there, I find Kaya's there, we're all there. I think we're all there to understand those certain levels, but I think that there's some people who are not there as yet. So what do you think the simplest form, what do you think it will take people to get this level of understanding that we all have on this show?
But for me, well, when it comes directly about my parents and all these different things, it was being in my 30s.
Absolutely,
it was hitting a new level of adulthood. I'll be entirely honest. Because,
of course.
Because then I did the compare and contrast. I was like, oh, you know. Because you don't realize that when you're a kid. However, let it be known that I went from being religious to spiritual when I was 23.
What made you get there, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, We gonna say this.
It's okay. You don't. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. And again, this is without saying disrespect, but religion is a business, just like sports is. Just like when you have a membership to the golf club, the golf course, church is some is you are a member of a church for its religion.
Right.
And again, I have no problem with you paying the pastor because the pastor's doing a job.
Hey,
you know they're all there. They're showing up and all these things, and that's cool. You having fun? That's your AKA club. Cool. Where I have an issue with is when you're saying, oh, if you don't follow my religion, you're going to hell.
Right.
Oh, if you love someone who isn't, if you're non-heterosexual, then you're going to hell.
Right.
I don't understand how you can preach love in one breath to only undertone it with hate.
I hear you.
So I could not agree with that. And also just for me, the one thing that really got me out of church was every time I would come every week, it'd be like, okay, come to the altar and cry onto Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, but I don't want to cry.
Right? I feel pretty good right now. It's like, no.
I'm good.
You're terrible.
Like, me and God be straight, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the last week I went is because the pastor asked it like 5 times and looked in my direction. Like, you know, the youth, you know, you got to come cry to Jesus to us. It's like, you looking my way? Because when I go down and cry, I don't feel better now. Now you just made me get all emotional and cry and stuff like that.
I'm actually really good right now. Okay.
I have nothing to cry about. Like, I am super blessed.
Right.
And like, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, right? So we all good and strong.
Aren't we? Exactly.
Yeah, that's not the problem though, because what the problem is with religion, and I also had a lot of these issues also. When I start listening or looking into religion on my own, it says that based on the understanding of scriptures that only 144,000 people will be allowed into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. So let me tell you something. What I'm crying for, I definitely ain't going. What I'm crying for? They said y'all only letting a little bit of people in. Say it's only a couple of spots left. And you know, in prison, I mean, in heaven, the seats must be lying side by side because they know how many people could fit. They say 144,000 people, they say is going to heaven.
This is 2021, y'all, because... So that pretty much
means none of us is going.
So I could tell you the first thing in terms of getting to a level of consciousness is a desire. If you want to, your spirit will give it to you. Right. There are certain people who do not want more information. Yes. They're comfortable in where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit won't give you what you don't want. Like, so it'll leave you in a certain state of ignorance.
Okay.
Because it's your bliss, so to speak. Okay. And it's not trying to put you into a circumstance that's uncomfortable. Although, it's sometimes deep down you need it. But it's just like we had discussed in our show last week. It's just like if you put out an intention and you say, yo, I intend to know more. I'm seeking. Like, so for myself, I've always been seeking, right? Like, right. I've always been asking questions of self, of life. So when I got to a point where I was extremely religious, and Gina knows this, like, I was deep down, I was...
You got me into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just want to say that because the reason why I got into religion is because, I don't know, when Pharaoh was Hamath,
mm-hmm.
that was a little different.
Yep.
And then when one day I came back and he was just all about this, I'm going to church, I was like, I'm gonna need to find this God you speak of, because for that to change who you were to what you are right now.
Yep.
I have one question. What religion was it?
Pentecostal.
I didn't know. Sorry, because you know the Christian is Catholic, but it's distant.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if they're all the same, because I'm not religious either. Respectfully, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I have a question as you're talking about that, and we're gonna go about our weeks again. But do you feel like there's some people who like keeping and staying in the pain aspects of their life because it gets them attention? So they, yes, this happened to me when I was younger, but I'm gonna hold this in my life to be an asshole. I'm gonna say asshole. You know what I mean? Or I'm gonna use this as a crutch to my life to just make it like, well, I can't do this or that because this is what happened to me when I was 5.
I'm not sure if I understand what you mean.
So there's a lot of people who like to relive their pain because it gives them attention.
Okay, so this is outside of religion now.
This is outside of religion because you said there are people who, if you have to want to evolve.
Right.
Right? This is what I'm going back to.
Yes.
So I feel like there's a lot of people who don't like to evolve because I feel like sometimes people like to use their pain as a means to get attention. Do you guys, have you ever experienced that? Do you know anybody like that? And what would you say to someone like that? Because I know someone firsthand like that. This happened to me when I was, well, I don't know, 3. I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life because I choose to change, and that's it. It gets me attention to this way.
Look, everyone's out here living their life experience at the differently. End of the day. Yeah, and they'll find their own purpose. However, it also depends on your environment, right? So if you're not given the space to grow, it's harder. It's not impossible, but it's harder to see the other side.
I hear you.
That being said, I know that I've spoken to people where they're complaining and I go into solution mode. I'm like, all right, so what are we doing?
Right.
Oh, no, I just want to complain about it. I was like, whoops.
I mean, I understand that some people don't always need a healer. They need an ear. But at some point, you're going to need to heal, because if you don't heal, you're never going to move forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you have some people that's the character. The character is just like part of it for them is the fun of complaining.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And that's when it's not about you telling them how they need to change. Mm-hmm. It's about you setting your boundaries and saying, okay, I see you for who you are.
Right.
I love you for who you are. These are my boundaries. Mm. And so therefore, for me, because you can only live your own experience. You can't want something more. You can't want something more for someone else that they don't want for themselves.
Mm. Mm, that's well said.
I like that. That's very true.
I think it's tricky because I don't have anybody like this in my experience just because I don't allow it. But, we have I'm trying to remember what book I read. Anyways, it's going to come to me in the show and I'm going to blurt it out randomly, but
it's, okay.
It's basically because that's their power, you know, like their power is in being the victim, right? That is how they're able to, that's for them. That is
like how they go about life.
Exactly. That's really what it is. So it's like, and again, like Gina says, like you're giving the person that choice. Like there's certain people who are, it's weird to say, but they feel like they are helping you by complaining about their issue and giving you the opportunity to help them.
Mm.
Right. So instead of them empowering themselves and saying, I'm going to get past it, they're playing the victim role and they feel like they're actually doing something good because they're enabling you to help them.
Yes.
Right?
It's kind of a
weird process, but it's like anybody who's still in that, it's that they haven't evolved to the part of understanding like what they are and what life is really about.
Mm.
And so that's really what it is. It's like, again, like if you're anytime you're in a position where you feel that like you've been a victim, that's just because you don't understand the co-creation part.
Okay.
You do not understand your role that you played.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's nothing that actually just happens to us. Like you have to actually accept things into your experience. Even people that you have that you feel that it's crazy. I'm about to say something that's actually a revelation to my own self.
Absolutely.
But it's like if you have somebody in your experience that you do not like or you find that you are at odds with, you actually have to understand what is it within that person that the spirit is trying to educate me. It's like you brought that person into your experience to show you something about yourself.
Right. Reflection. Right?
You're a reflection of yourself that you might not even be conscious of. Right. But subtly it's something in you that you need to evolve from. It's something in you that you need to learn from.
Mm.
So that yourself actually brought that experience into you, whether you might consider it a quote unquote negative experience.
Okay.
But that person, the energy drew that experience into your world.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could see a reflection of yourself, so that you could do better. You could see, okay, you know what? I don't like that in that person, but it's actually something in me that I do.
I totally
not like.
Get that.
Well, but it's funny because, obviously we were talking about off air and there's certain things.
We were talking about our weeks and then we got into some real deep stuff, which is amazing because it is the Empower Hour.
Yeah, so. And that's really what it is. So it's very interesting.
All right. So you didn't tell us about your week though.
Oh, well, basically, regular things over here. it's basically where I'm at right now. Well, first of all, week was fantastic. Work as usual. Just, again, continuing to evolve with myself and the community. But I'm in a state right now, I had mentioned a little bit last week, where I just want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Almost at any cost.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, you know, like, I don't think it's worth... Like life is short, quote unquote, and the reason I say that is because once you really understand why you're on the planet and what you're here for, you understand that you're here for a journey. You're here to experience,
right.
And we get really caught up working like these 9-to-5s and doing these things, and like we're very project oriented or whatever mm-hmm. be the case. And mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being driven, but you don't want to lose sight of the big picture. And the big picture is you're here to enjoy life. You're
absolutely.
Here to live. You're here to experience and to be more.
Right.
And it's like we've been tricked in believing that, you know, like success is when you you have like your husband, wife, the house and the job, like you've made it. Check that off. What ends up happening is that you get in a state where you're actually, without realizing, you're slowly dying because you're no longer living. You're no longer trying. You do your mundane whatever. You come back and you sit and you sit at home. You watch your whatever TV and you do the same thing like a routine. And you think that you've made it, where life inside you is just calling out, begging for you to do more. Right? And it's just like, it's like, and you don't necessarily understand, but it's just like, yo, no, the reason you don't get it is because we haven't been taught this, but I'm telling you guys right now, we're here to be more. So anytime you get too comfortable in a certain state, you actually get worried. You want to, and it's funny because I have certain people who try to knock me because they're like, yo, Farrah, every couple of years, like you do something completely out the box and you change. I'm like, I can't help it.
Right.
Because I'm so in tune to how my spirit functions, is that when it's time for me to level up and change, like I will crush everything I had and just completely change my just completely being. Start something brand new, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like it you would think that it I want to continue to build an empire and grow big. It's not about that. It's really I have a good time serving the needs of my community, being there to help. I love what I'm doing.
Love it.
But as soon as the spirit says, yo, it's time to do something different, I have to do something different because that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to live, I'm here to expand, I'm here to be more. And who knows, in me expanding and being more can create more opportunities for other people. But I can't not change just because I don't want to disappoint society. I don't want to do something different because people are going to watch me and be like, well, bro, like you said you're going to do this. I can't. I'm sorry. I got to go with what the spirit is leading me to do.
Okay.
So, you know, so that's like really that's my thing right now, is just trying my best to just be love, to feel that love, and to be in tune. Because it's just like right now, it's like I find a lot of people kind of got distracted and lost sight of what reality really was. And we're not living, you know?
Hear you.
And so I want to just continue to live, be love, and set that example. And
that's what's up. That's what Queen Kaya. How are you on this November 11th? And how is everything going for you?
Child, everything is going good. Life is looking up.
Life is looking up. I like to hear it. Mm-hmm. Anything interesting? Anything that you can elaborate on that P just said or that we just said?
Well, so there's a couple of things that you guys just talked about as we opened that I would like to go back. Gina
please
said,
do. Please do.
Gina said, when did you realize that your parents were human?
Yeah.
And that took me to a place in my mind. I'm like, you know, I think that's what this means. But I realized that my parents are really just human beings and they weren't superheroes when I was about 7.
Wow, that's very young, love.
Yeah, I was very young. Okay. And I was like, you know what? Y'all are not meant to be parents. Y'all are very bad parents. And I am going to live with my grandmother until you guys get ready because you guys suck.
Okay.
Yeah, you know you're supposed to wake up in the morning with me, right? Like, I be up in here for all kinds of hours in the morning by myself, like, doing stuff, making eggs and stuff. Now y'all got me making egg sandwiches and stuff in the morning for y'all. Y'all are terrible parents. Like, I'm 7.
Yeah. And what I don't like doing it.
And I don't care if I'm big as 10-year-old. I don't care. Yes, I was big as a 10-year-old. But I don't care. Because I can make my own eggs and shit, right? So who's going to stop me from eating 6 eggs in the morning, right? So, but I knew then, I was like, yeah, these people ain't ready. Somebody needs to be watching me because now none of my clothes fit. Somebody needs to be watching me. So I was like, you know, I'm calling my grandmother. And she came and got me one day and I was supposed to go for like a weekend. And then it was just like, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm never going back there. And she was like, what? Aww. Well, what you gonna do when I go on vacation? I said, I'm gonna stay here and watch your dog. She was like, what? So that's what I used to do. You're laughing, but I'm telling you.
I believe you because I feel like you were an adult before you were an adult.
Gemini children usually are, though. Gemini children can raise their parents.
Yes,
this is why we are so productive as children, and as adults we shirk responsibility.
Yeah,
it's a big thing for us because we spend so much time being grown when we're little. When we get older, like, man, bump this, man. Right. Y'all do something.
Right.
Y'all ain't been doing nothing. So you be looking at our parents like they owe us something sometimes. But I got over that part at about 16.
Okay, I hear you.
I that was it for me. I never asked my father for another dollar. My mother wasn't ever anyone that I really asked for money. But at 16, I stopped asking my father for money. I started hustling and working and doing different things.
Nice.
At 13, I asked my grandmother to sign the paper so that I can go work at Tyndale St. George's. So thank God for them taking, letting me come and work there with my note of approval from my grandmama.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
But I knew that my parents were regular people, and I think that that helped a little bit when they had other children, when they had more children, mm-hmm. because when different things happen, I used to say, let me tell y'all something. Y'all know my parents were horrible. Y'all got great parents now.
We're horrible.
No. We got the same mama and daddy, but they were in a different part of their life by the yeah. time my sisters came, because one of my sisters came 8 years after me, 7 years after me. Wow. They had different parents coming up. Their parents were in a lot better place mentally because they were older. Right. And they had lived a little bit more. And right. I was like their crash test dummy kid, you know? The first kid is always like your crash test yeah. kid. Like, we make all the worst mistakes exactly. with the first one. And sure. the second ones, we're like, yeah, this is how we're going to do these ones. So, gratefully, and for them, they ended up being better people for it. They all went to college and university. Right. They did a lot more. Like, I'm literally the thorn in my mom and dad's cap. So, but I recognized when I was younger. So to that's what I want to say. I recognize very young on, and I think that we're really supposed to easy up on our parents a little bit and give them, because they're human beings in real life, and we got to easy up on them. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall short. But all the while, one thing that they never forget is that they're our parents. So we got to remember that too.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a question for you guys, because I take care of my parents. You guys know, everybody knows this. Do you guys feel like at some point your parents become your own children?
My parents been my children since I was 7. That's why I'm telling you, I was in there making breakfast.
Let me tell you guys something really, really quick before you guys interject. So my, you know, everybody knows my mom's in a wheelchair. She doesn't walk anymore. But the other day, like, they were getting ready to go for a walk, and let me tell you guys how I had to zip up jackets, put on hats, this and that. Dad, put your neck up so I can zip it up. Like, come on, like,
that's
felt like it was good though.
The reversal of roles.
It was like, yeah, they say twice a child, right? Yes. So that's why I thought, I love my parents dearly. You guys know they're my bloodline, but at the same time, I'm just like, hey, these are my children. That's why. Probably don't have any, and that's okay, and I'm comfortable with that, you know?
Absolutely. Sometimes God prepares us for that,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. He totally did. When my mom first got sick, I said, okay, it was a big responsibility, you know, she doesn't walk, she didn't eat at the time and stuff like that, she had a tube, all this kind of stuff, and I was like, okay, God's telling me maybe I shouldn't have children and this is the rest of my life, and I'm okay with that, you know what I'm saying? It was real, like, I'll tell that story one day, but it was real something. But I know you said 7, Gina Farrell. When did you realize your parents are like your children? Not are, but like your children.
Well,
I realized that when my mom realized that we were pretty much independent, and then she's just like, all right, well, I did what I had to do. Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Right? And again, I say my mom had us young. And there's a difference. And I see that now, because I got to have my youth and have fun, and now I'm ready to settle down. Mm-hmm. And now my mom's doing the reverse. So my mom's out here playing trap music and stuff. I'm like, Mom, turn that music down. It's like, why are you coming down the block? I hear you coming down the block when you come to my house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so my mom's living her best life
right now
from that perspective.
For sure.
But no, there was, we had a... how much do you want to say? How much you don't?
Facts, because they be listening. They be listening.
Our parents listen. I know my parents.
No, not for my parents.
About they trifling asses. I don't know.
You better.
I'm gonna get them some of the money.
People would love to reel that. Yeah.
Just to say that there are some of us in the 10 who are more problematic than others, and that burden falls on the parent. And so there was times when one child became the biggest burden of things, and I had to step in and deal with certain things because, you know, what have you, right?
Right.
And so I'd have to say it was probably, like I said, once we were independent and once it was like, I don't have to work 3 jobs to feed the kids.
Right.
I don't have to, you know, back to back, no sleep and all these things. And it's just like, okay, well, they're good. They survived. We did as much as she did what she needed to do. Then I was just like, Mom, where's the hustle? Mom, why? What happened? And she's like, nope, I ain't got to do no more. I was just like, all right, cool.
So you don't have to do it. P, when did you realize that? You're like, damn it, you guys are like my children with your mom and your dad.
Okay, well, my parents are separated, right?
Yes,
so
that I know.
Two completely different scenarios happening.
Okay, cool.
Same with Gina. I'm trying to figure out, what do I want to say?
So I know, right?
We're West Indian, right? You got to mind yourself.
Yeah, you have to kind of, yeah.
You might not have a family after this.
Exactly. After you say what you got to say,
No, but it's all love. Like, it's just basically, because I've always had like an old spirit, right? So, to say that, like my parents, like I don't know how do I put this. Like, okay, at a young age, Like my mother being a single mother with myself and my younger brother primarily, like we had to step up as young youths, and that's actually what kind of made me into the hammer that I was, because I was like, yo, I'm just gonna get whatever, I'm gonna do whatever to support, like, you know, my household, 100. My family. So I became pretty, you know, whatever. Like I did what I had to do, right?
Exactly.
That's it. Just to make sure there's some bread coming in, and that's what it was. And it was funny because at a young age, like, you don't necessarily compute, but your parent is letting you do a certain thing because they're not asking no questions. They understand, right, like, for sure your age is, there's no reason why you have this kind of bread and you're able to come home with this kind of bread, but there's a need, and so it balances out, right? But it did build a certain character in me, and it allowed me to do a, you know, whatever, like it allowed me to help and feel like I was contributing. Mm-hmm. Or not feel like I was actually contributing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But now as I'm older, so my mom is super good, she's taking care, she's able to contribute and help with grandchildren and whatever the case, how she feels like she's doing, which is blessed. My dad, on the other hand, like, my dad and I are like partners. Like, I feel like, okay, it's like I look out for my dad as if, like, you know, like he was one of my own children. It's weird.
Okay.
How life has come in a cycle like that. Okay. Like, and it's like we work on things together, like, you know, like he's still in Trinidad, but the what he has access to is not the same as what I have here. So
I understand.
So I see him, like, I do take care of him, you know, like as much as I can, at least, you know, and like, you know, just making sure he's good where he's at and making sure that the house that we're building up, we're able to, you know, like he's safe in the house. So like it's, but this is something I have to say, really. I guess this started when I was in my 20s, I guess, like, yeah, you know, like, okay. And well, I'm in my 40s now. Shit, I didn't realize that, actually.
You never noticed, realized until, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As you're bringing that up. So, yeah, so no, yeah. I guess I've been like that. But again, but as an old soul, like, I'm kind of, like, I know age is something that is very, is a subjective, like, it's not necessarily like, all right, I might be in my 40s right now, but spiritually I'm super old, right? And I'm very conscious of that. And so certain conversations I have with individuals, they could be older than me, they could be my parents even, but just by what they say, I know that you don't know what I know,
right?
So I'm not gonna,
and they can be younger too,
exactly,
right?
That's right.
That's really what absolutely it is. So it's just now we're in a state with our heightened sense of consciousness that we're coming to understand all of this, right? So it's like, yeah, they might have been my parents, like they came in, they birthed me, but I'm, you know, like, I'm older than them. Same with my own children now.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that actually.
Yeah, my own children right now, like, because we've all had spiritual readings, we all, like, you know, I've brought them to some of my sessions, like, they've had their own sessions, like, so my children are, like, all of us are around the same spiritual age.
I like that.
Right? So it's like, so that's why, like, they might be young. I might have a baby in Zingle who's 4 years old, but she's a super old spirit.
Yeah.
And I know this.
Man. You've spoken about her before.
I actually was blessed enough to meet her this summer. She is a warrior princess.
As her name is.
I didn't even know that, but I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
She is a warrior princess.
I believe you.
She's something else, and you can tell that she's probably been here a whole bunch of times before, because she's definitely an old soul. Mm-hmm. She has a fearlessness in her that is, it's admirable. I'm like, ooh, you go, girl.
Yes.
Ooh. That's when I see her, that's how she make me feel. She make me feel like, ooh.
Ooh. So, yeah, you know. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah,
but on that, just as before you switch over, it's just that we, like, even as parents, like, we feel like, you know, like, we got to do whatever to protect our children.
Right.
But we got to be mindful of the time that we're in on the planet.
Right.
These children are coming in hot and ready. They know what they're coming into. They're coming into a certain kind of life. They know what it is.
Yes.
So just guide them, but just know that don't baby them. Don't impede their development. Trust me, I can tell you guys, don't come with your old ways and try to implant that.
That's a whole other segment.
Yo, we can talk about that next if you guys want.
It's a whole other world. Honest. But just so you guys know, like, your children know what time it is, man.
They're
here to take care of you. So just fall back. Just know, just don't impede their development, because we have a tendency as parents to feel like we know what is right because of some of the old blah 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 that we were taught.
That's
and
right.
Now we're trying, guys, we're there, in a new time.
That's it. Where there's a lot to unlearn in a lot of things, especially.
Amen. I think that might be the word of the week. Unlearn.
Unlearn. There's a lot to unlearn. On that note, guys, I'm gonna play some music and then we're gonna come back with our topic of the day. All right.
Baby, my Valentine's, can I hear the make my temperature rise? If you leave me, I could die, I swear.
DJ,
you are like the oxygen I need to survive, I'll be honest.
Your love ain't it totally me. I am so obsessed. I want to chop your kobe.
Conversations back here.
So no matter what.
And we're back, and we're back, and we're back. Yeah. That's that famous TikTok song by CK. It's called Love No Wanty.
TikTok song?
That's a TikTok track. That's
what does that mean, TikTok track?
It's his song that they
It's his song that they like made, blew up on viral.
On TikTok.
Viral on TikTok. It's a viral, viral TikTok song. It's beautiful.
This
Love
is
it.
Interesting. I don't even think I have a TikTok account.
You should get one.
I do not, and I shall not, and I will not.
Really?
I'm trying to get rid of my Instagram.
I have learned so much from TikTok.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped in here. But,
please, get in.
The more, the better.
Go.
I realized that my iPhone puts limitations. Like, I know parents must know this because they do it for their kids, but I put limitations on my phone now for social media.
Nice.
So I can only be on IG because, you know, you remember I went on an IG fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I don't know, these last few weeks again, must be in the air. Actually, scratch that. It's been the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on it just scrolling. And, like, I see myself through my phone zombified scrolling.
Oh, wow.
And, like, last week I was like, oh, you know what's going to happen? We're going to put a 1 hour limit per day.
Mm.
And I haven't even touched an hour at this point. But knowing that there's a limit, now it's like magically kept me off of it.
Mm.
But I actually put limitations. So 5 minutes before I hit the hour, I have a warning that says, you know, you got five more minutes.
So long, yeah.
Make it count. And
my issue is not even that. My issue is my neck hurting because I realized like in the position, position like with the head down, like and but it wasn't because just the phone. Like even like I was just saying off air, like before I had my computer set up. Like when I work, I have a bar at home, so like I sit on a stool and my laptop was below me. So the whole time I'm kind of hunched and my neck is down. So then I didn't realize like how bad that was. Like, and then like, and then you continue on your phone, so you get off your laptop, and then you're still walking with your phone, and your head is kind of down. Nah, man, I had to start wearing a neck brace. It was terrible. It was terrible, guys. Like
it's actually, the difference between being ugly and sexy when you get old, man. You don't want to be hunched over with that hump walking. You know them old people that you see like that. Listen, I said all the time, if you ever get, if I get that old and I be like that, y'all just go and get rid of me, because I do not want to be out here, people looking at me like that.
No.
I don't want to look like that.
I like that.
I don't. Trust me.
All right. So on that note, we're gonna do our topic of the day, which is, I believe, gender roles.
Oh, it was a religion? Like, we just went in hard before?
Well, I mean, we could do both. No, you know what I'm saying? We could split it up as much as we want. So we're gonna talk about gender roles. And we're gonna talk about men crying, being okay to cry, emotional men. We're gonna talk about all of that stuff. Yay. I think it's okay for men to cry. I believe it's important for men to cry. Me too. I don't think that they should feel like inferior to crying. You know, everybody should cry, not only men. Everybody should cry.
If my guy don't cry, I'm not into him
if
like my, that.
Exactly. If you don't show no kind of emotion,
because he's gonna want to fight. He's gonna want
to
fight,
and it's gonna build up, and he's gonna take it out on you. You know what I'm saying?
And I like to look cute. I don't be liking to wear glasses for no reason.
Right? So we're going to talk about all that, you know, because we're always taught to be strong, especially in the black community, strong black woman, strong black man, all this kind of stuff. So we're going to touch on that, the three of us, and then it'll come back to me. So go ahead. You guys have the floor. What do you guys think? Let's start.
So one of my things that I really tried to remove out of my vocabulary and semi-cringe when I hear it is the term man up. Right? And what does that mean, right? So if a man's showing emotion, you tell him to man up, that's a problem. If a man's trying to be open with you and express how they're feeling and you tell him to man up, that's a problem. And a lot of the times, and I'm going to talk about black men because it's our community, but they don't have a safe space to talk about their feelings. And it's interesting because I seen a post on Instagram. And a girl was just like, yo, I went to this guy's house and he lived with his baby mother and we were on the couch and she let us have our date on the couch and went in the other room and said, have fun. And because these day and age, and we talk about it a lot, the housing markets, people can't afford to live on their own. And you have a lot of situations where you co-parent and do all these things. And I am a strong believer that if you're honest with your situation, that's all that matters, right? And I know that there are a lot of situations where you still want to co-parent and you can't afford all these different things. And then people were just like, okay, well, if you guys really aren't together, then I should be able to come to your home and it shouldn't be an issue. Well, you were in that situation and then you went on social media and complained about it. I was like, yo, I'm out. I'm like, but so there's no winning. There's no winning for, there's a lack of space for black men. And sometime, at the hand of a black woman. Now, I know I could say the same, I could say vice versa, but right now we're just talking about men and their emotions and just giving them enough space and room to be able to cry, you know, and to be able to show their vulnerability. And I have to say, even for myself, vulnerability is a sign of strength. It is not a sign of weakness.
Absolutely.
I agree too.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I was crying a couple of weeks ago. I was on drugs. But look, this is what it is, right? I'm very in tuned, right? So like, when I say in tuned, at this particular time, I was reflecting on life, right? Without going into too much details, I was reflecting on humanity. I was reflecting on life, and I was reflecting on just the state. And it did. I start to feel that, you know what? Like, I feel people are hurting in general. And funny enough, I got to a point where actually, like, it did bring a tear to my eye. I did get emotional because I was like, I'm almost feeling like. Because it almost felt a little foreign to me, because inside, like you guys see me all the time, I'm super bubbly. I actually feel very good, like, all the time. And so when I don't feel good, it's like I pay attention to that. Like, why am I not feeling good, right? So, and then I don't like feeling not good for too long. So I always pause in the moment. I dive in. I come to the understanding and I learn and I grow from that discomfort. But in this particular case, like, I was just reflecting on just the state of society and humanity and just the the fact that the majority of people just don't know, and they aren't living their best life because they just don't know. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that made me feel a way. Like, I really started to feel emotional for people in general. Like,
you know.
And it's funny. I had spoken about this a little bit about this in the last week, because it was like, I don't necessarily want to be feeling what everybody's feeling all the time. You understand? Okay, yeah. But in that particular moment, I wasn't mad at it. I didn't like, because as long as like I was asking, I kind of put it out into the universe. I was having a conversation with the universe, so to speak, and it was like I kind of asked the question. It was almost I was seeking to know what people felt like,
right.
And the universe showed me. And a lot of people are hurting right now. There's a lot of people who aren't living their full experience, and they don't necessarily understand why. And they're in a state of depression and fear and anxiety, and that it's just not comfortable. And I was kind of feeling that, but you know, so like not to go too deep and too far with everybody.
Okay.
But it's just like I didn't feel any way about it though. I shared it with my children, my wife, just like how I was feeling and what had happened, and it was like I didn't feel no way. And I guess it's because I'm at a point where I'm unapologetically me, so I don't I don't have no shame in the game. Like, it's really crying, and I could cry in front of people for all I care. Like, okay. It makes absolutely no difference to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's really like I'm gonna be genuine to myself, and I feel like that's one of the things that's lacking. It's because we've set up these images, these egos that we have, and that we feel that we need to carry ourselves a certain way. It's not real. It's not a real thing. Actually destroying a lot of people from the inside. Where a brother might want to just break down and cry because it's heavy, right? Yeah. But they won't because they feel like that's not their role to do, or they'll try to stifle it in and hold it in.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember even a time speaking to my father, and I think it was on his birthday actually. So it was this year. So he had turned, I think it was 70 this year, my father turned, right? And I had organized to get all his siblings on a Zoom call. My dad is not techie at all, so it was super complicated, okay? I couldn't even get him on the Zoom. We did a WhatsApp, and I had to create a bunch of subgroups and just get him, you know, like get him in all the groups so he could talk to everybody. And then after that whole fiasco, it worked out, but it was a lot of work on my side in terms of coordinating. And I had everybody sing him happy birthday in these different groups. And then when it was done, it was just him and I. I was like, okay, Dad, well, it's just me and you now. So happy birthday, Dad. Like, you know? And so I'm giving him like my words now. And he started to cry almost. But because like he's my dad and I see him in a certain way, like I was like, okay, Dad, we'll go. I got off the phone with him quick.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it was just because I've never seen him cry like that, you know? And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this.
No, that's honest.
You know what I mean?
And
I was like, but it was all love, you know? But it was an interesting kind of experience, you know? It's just like, it was genuine. Like, he appreciated what I did for him. And it was a cool, like, you know? But I realized that like I didn't want him to cry, you know what I mean? Like, I like as my dad in that position, I was like, I don't want you to cry. Okay, I'm gonna get off the line. Okay,
right. That doesn't mean that he's not gonna cry because you hung up, though.
Mm-hmm.
He probably cried for a very long time after you hung up. You probably should have stayed.
Call your dad,
and you're gonna have to call him and check on him a couple of different times. And you might want to say those words to him, like, you know, I've never seen you be emotional, and it touched the part of me that I wasn't sure that I was okay with accessing.
Right.
And I'm sorry that I hung up on you, because I want you to know that this is a safe space for you to be a
because
it's important for me to be able to see you like that, because those are part of the things that's going to help me grow into the next phase of myself.
It's very true.
Well, we've spoken many times since then, but yeah,
everything's okay.
But that's part. But for me, that I feel like that would be part of the revelation for me. Like, wow, you know what? This is something, because he needed that. He might have needed that space.
Mm. He did.
Good point.
And did you ever see your dad cry before that, or no?
No, never.
So it was your first time. You weren't ready.
No, no.
Okay. I'm just saying you weren't ready for it.
No. The men in our family don't.
No, we don't do it.
Yeah, no, the men in our family, we don't see that.
Mm-mm.
Okay, like, totally get it.
At all. At all.
And so like, I totally understand.
For me and my dad, you'll get kicked out of the room just when he's emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, because, well, if I go back to when my grandmother passed away, that was the only time I could say that. And it has to be an assumption, because no one actually got to see it. Because his head was down, buried in, and like no one could go near him. It was like, don't touch him, don't leave. Like, so we're just like, all right, this is the assumption that right now in this
he
moment
is
he's
in
crying.
A state, absolutely. Yeah.
But he will never let someone see that.
Yeah, that's like my dad too. I only seen cry once, and it was when his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. That was the only time. Yeah, he. I know he has, like, I'm not airing out my dad's business, but when my mom got sick, he didn't cry when he was awake. He cried in his sleep, and like it was a deep. And I was like, whoa. But I didn't want to go near him because I was too scared. Because I didn't know if I woke him up, I was like, I don't know what
if he's going to be in a manic state or not. Like fight or...
Exactly. Yeah. Or do, you know what I'm saying? Because I know my dad is a silent type, but he has a really bad temper. You know what I mean? Mess with him one time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's because he has suppressed so much for the years and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm raised in a West Indian household, like all of us. You know what I'm saying? So we know what that's like. You know, speak when you're spoken to. You know what I'm saying? Licks, all that kind of stuff. You know, all the things that our grandparents did to our parents, which somewhat damaged our parents. We'll go into that another day. But, you know, that is my father. You know, great man, great soul. Unable to express himself, though. So I've only seen him cry once in my 36 years of living. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, I find that there's something to be said about the emotions. Because I feel it's important that we feel them when they come. And it's just that we know not to live in them. Because I think that's where we kind of get it twisted, where it's like, you know, like some people ignore the bad feeling, which you should never do. Right. Like, you should feel that, right?
But I think that's a taught behavior, to ignore it. You understand what I'm saying? Like she said, you know, like Jenna said, man up. You know what I'm saying? Stop crying. You know, we're raising. That's an unlearning. I think we talked about that earlier. Point, that's something that we need to actually unlearn, in a sense. You know, not in a sense. Actually, we have to unlearn that behavior. You know, so we've been taught that. That's ingrained in us to stop feeling that way. But it's like, no you're in a safe space now. But we have to make it known that the spaces are safe. Because we're also raised in gossip culture. You know what I'm saying? You mom calling this one to tell somebody what she had, she period, and all kind of stupidness. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we were raised in. So we have to actually have to retract that stuff, where it's like, we have to let people know that they're safe with us. We do, because that's what we were raised in. You know, gossip. Gossip's a big thing in our community, and we need to stop that too.
Good point.
Yeah. It's a really big thing, right? Yeah. So, all right. You guys got anything else to say on the gender roles and the emotional neck? I want you to speak and then we'll play some music for us.
Yes, I am. So, in my family, I will speak about my father and my 16 siblings. We have 8 girls and 8 boys.
Love it.
And so, my father, being the man that he is, he showed us a lot of different stuff. My father wash dishes. My father was a chef, and he loved cooking food.
Nice.
So he cooked 6-7 meals a day. That's why we was all fat. I'm talking about, and he washed the dishes, and he might say once for the different, all the times that he washed dishes for the day, one of our mamas would have to come and say, go and help your father wash the dishes. Your father cooked all these meals. He'd be like, because they leave crusty stuff on the dishes and stuff. I'm washing the dishes. They could dry. Yeah. Somebody else could rinse and dry.
Right.
But my father showed us that those things don't really apply. And for him, I think what it made up to me in my mind is patterns and pathology. My father grew up in a household with 4 sisters.
Okay.
The only boy.
Okay.
His mom and his aunt. And his dad left when he was very young. Him being in the household as a child, they were all children. There was no gender roles. Everybody sweeps the floor.
Right.
Everybody mops. Everybody does dishes. Right. Because how do you separate it and there's 4 girls and 1 boy? Right. Well, that works if the numbers are kind of evened off. But it doesn't work that way if there's only one of you. And that this is what we also have to think about when and how gender roles are built up in our minds.
Okay.
A lot of it, I think, has to do with patterns and pathology. Who we had as the first sibling, female or male? Second sibling, was it female or male?
Right.
All of those things are part of it. The gender roles, the thinking about who were being, about being submissive, these all have to do with the way that we're raised in our household.
Absolutely.
Which fiddle are you in the house? So my father showed us that boys can do all of these things. So all the boys cook, all the boys clean, all the girls cook, all the girls clean.
Right.
And all the boy stuff, we could do all that stuff too. Because when my brothers was cooking, Guess who was cleaning your yard? The girls.
Right.
Who, guess who was doing that and taking out the garbage? Because we a team. It don't matter whether I have a penis or a vagina. We're a team.
Right.
And until it requires us to use our penis and vagina, none of those things really matter.
Exactly.
So we were raised differently. And I got a dad who cried in front of us. He cried. I mean, he beat up everybody in the house, but he cried after and was like, guys, I love y'all. I'm so sorry. Don't play with me, I'll whip y'all. Y'all know I don't play with children. I don't want to whip. You know, I used to get whipped, so I don't like it. But he'd be saying it with tears and wiping his tears and telling y'all, but I will whip. I'll whip y'all again. Don't play with me. Y'all better go and be children. And so that's what we did. So I think that having the exposure to it makes all the difference, and knowing where you come from. Patterns and pathology is real. I think that we need to look into that, why we think and feel the way that we feel, because that would reveal a lot to us on why we are who we are.
I agree.
I always say too, to find out, you know, why your parents are the way they are, if you're having problems with them, or if they're always so wonderful to you, or if they're just, you go ask them who their parents
were.
Ask them who their grandparents were. It gives you a lot of insight on why you're being raised the way you are, and how you can change, and what you keep and what you don't.
That's right. That's right. I ask a lot of questions to my parents, especially my father. I always want to know why he was so quiet. I know now, I won't say, but you know what I mean? I know now. And he was raised in a way where it was like, that's how you were raised, daddy? And your heart is still this good? Like, you know what I'm saying? But again, I don't blame my grandmother and my grandfather for what happened to him. I don't blame anybody. It's just the way that they were raised. You know what I mean? And the more that we understand that, is the more that we will be freer in our own way of living and raising our own children and understanding different things. You know what I'm saying? I have to ask you guys, though, just before I go, like, knowing the way that you guys, your parents were raised and this and that, does it make you look for partners and friends who were different in a sense? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your friends, you said your dad was crying while he was whipping you guys, but let's just say, as a single woman, when you look at men, do you look for men in that way? Do you recognize those behaviors in men? Like, how do you vet them in a sense? You know what I'm saying? Do you see that? Do you see your father in men? Do you look for your father in men? And how does that work for you, Kaya?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
And sometimes, and I have been with men who don't know how to or didn't know how to be that. And through having our experiences together, like my last boyfriend, the first time I ever seen him emotional was like 8 years into what we was doing. And
a long time, babe.
His dad passed away. And during the time of his dad passing away, we had had an estrangement. We had fell out. And he had called somebody and said, I can't believe that she wasn't there for me in this time, because I had worked him up to a point where he could finally be that way. But during the time that his father passed away, we were estranged. So he didn't have anyone that he could really be emotional with.
Right.
So the following year, we went away. And I convinced him, I'm like, come on, let's go and swim in the beach. And he had not been in beach water since him and his father had swam together last. And when he got in the water, I was swimming, I went underneath the water. When I came out and I looked at him, he was like standing up in the water and he was just looking at me. And I said, what happened? He said, I'm ready to talk about my dad. And he just started talking.
That's
and he
good.
Said all of this stuff. And at one point in time, when the tears started to well up in his eyes, he went underneath the water and came back up and then wiped his face.